This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Film Pasture Podcast. This is the sister podcast to the Lambcast, which can be found at largeassmovieblogs.com. I'm your host, The Vern, and today we are going to be focused on a few movies that I was able to see at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Film Festival. This is a festival sponsored by the Minneapolis Film Society, and I'm just going to focus on just a few films I saw this week. Now, our co-host, Kristen Lopez, she is now at the Turner Classic Movies Film Festival, which is just wrapping up right now. And you can definitely follow what she's doing with that festival on her site, Journeys in Classic Films. She even also has a podcast she did about the film she saw there over on her show, Ticklish Business. And I advise you to go to those sites as well. Journeys in Classic Film, find that at journeysinclassicfilms.com. And Titlist Business, you can find that at titlistbiz.podbean.com. But today, I'm going to be focused on just a few films I saw at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Film Festival. And we're going to start off right now with a film that I saw. The first film I saw this week was called Lipstick Under My Burka.
सामने देखिए प्रोफाइल आइए, सामने देखिए सगाई हो रही है आपकी, फोटो खींच रही है आप।
कभी कभी लगता है कि बड़ी सेक्स नुमा आवाज है रोजी। जसपाल रोजी को देखना चाहता हूँ।
जसपाल रोजी को रोज देख सकता है सपने में।
सपने में
लिपस्टिक वाले सपने। लाली चढ़ी होंठों पे, ख्वाबों के गुलाब की चाली चढ़ी आंखों पे।
All right, so Lipstick Under My Burka was directed by, and I'm going to do my best to say this name the right way, and if I mess up, I apologize, but its director is Alan Tarita Shvestava, and its story focuses on four women living in India who are dissatisfied with their lives. We have one woman who wants to be a pop singer, but that type of attitude and dancing is frowned upon in her very religious family. We have another woman who has been arranged to get married to this very lame type of guy when in actuality she's in love with a photographer. And so she has to hide that relationship behind her parents and her husband's back. We have another lady who is very ignored by her husband. She's a mother of many kids, and she has a chance to make more money for the family because her husband is unemployed, but she really can't because the men in the society are the ones to provide for the women. So she's feeling trapped there. Then we have another lady who's in her probably mid-50s or so, who's not feeling attractive anymore. She starts up a phone sex relationship with a younger guy, and she starts to feel sort of good about herself again. But she can't let anyone know about it because otherwise she'll be treated as being perverted and a monster and everything like that. So the women in this one all feel kind of trapped, but through the course of it, none of them really do anything to fight back. Now, I know that this is a movie that got banned in its home country. It won like a few awards. I think it won like an award in Asia, but it got banned from where it is. And I imagine too that if the woman did do any fighting back, that the filmmakers may have received death threats. So I could sort of see why they did do it that way. And I was really hoping that some of the characters would do some fighting back. I mean, there's a scene where the father picks up the pop singer from jail, and he keeps saying how disappointed he isn't her, but she never does anything to fight back. And that's my only big notion in this movie, is that none of the women really do much to fight back. There's a sequence where the women actually end up banding up together and supporting one of them that gets basically attacked by people in her apartment complex. And I feel like that sequence should have been the part before the third act. Like, I want to see those women get together and do some fighting back. You know, fight back against the man who was cheating on his wife. I mean, do something there, all right? Have one of the women support the younger girl with her dreams to be a pop singer, all right? Because when these women actually do get together to support each other, the movie just sort of ends, all right? And I really want there to be just more there. I do think all the actresses in this are really good. I think the cinematography is a lot of fun, really good stuff right there, but nothing really happens in this, and that was the main thing I found frustrating about the whole thing. It sets up the problems very well, but it never resolves them, or it never even attempts to resolve the problems. So that's my main issue right there. I would say out of 5 stars, I'm going to give it 3. I think the late 74 acting is good, cinematography is good, but the story is lacking that conflict and resolution. And I understand, too, that in that society, they couldn't really do much, but I wanted to see them try and fail, too. The fact that they didn't even try made this kind of disappointing for me, all right? But yeah, Lipstick Under My Burka, I think you can watch it online. But if it does come to theaters, I would still suggest checking it out. Maybe it'll get enough people angry to maybe do something about that, all right? Because, yeah, in that society, women are really not allowed to do much, all right? It's not really kind upon women right there. So, yeah, so maybe some changes will happen for that. I don't know. But let's move on. The next film I saw was called Prevenge.
It was completely unnecessary to kill that man. He was really nice.
He was a sop. A hipster sop.
Shh. The sacrifices I've had to make.
What sacrifices?
Children these days are really spoiled. Like, Mummy, I want a PlayStation. Mummy, I want you to kill that man.
I don't want a new...
I know you don't want a new daddy, but there was no possibility of that, so stop going on about it.
He saw everything.
I know he's a witness, but there's a chance he might not have told anyone.
His name was Josh.
No, you're right. No one called Josh is not going to tell the authorities.
All right, so Prevenge was written, directed, and stars Alice Lowe as a mother who is expecting her first child. Before the movie starts, her husband has just passed away, and she starts hearing her unborn fetus talking to her, and her unborn fetus wants her to start killing people. It's like a really messed up Luke who's talking, but it's extremely funny, okay, because she's going through here and killing all the really bad people, right? Pervert guys to try to pick her up and everything, and single mothers and all that, bosses that want to fire her. Basically, it kind of reminded me a little bit of the movie God Bless America that was directed by Bobcat Goldthwait. Kind of goes in that sort of vein right there, but it has kind of a really funny vibe because there's a fetus talking to her. At least she thinks that her fetus is talking to her. And the film is great because it's only at 80 minutes long. It's never overstays its welcome at all. Except that there is a part in the movie, and slight spoilers here, folks, where her child does get born. And there's a scene in the hospital where she's looking at her kid, and I'm thinking right there when I'm watching it, she should imagine her kid saying one more rude thing, and then the movie ends. But it cuts to another scene of a guy that she's been hunting. Basically, throughout the movie, too, she's trying to find out exactly who are the guys that helped kill her husband, because her husband climbed mountains with people who was part of a mountain climbing group, and an accident happened where he died, he fell to his death. And throughout the movie, too, you're thinking that maybe she's the cause of it, because it's very ambiguous the way it's, that part's kind of revealed, but it's still unsure, and at the end of the movie, she does try to find one of the other guys and scares him instead. But I still think if they would have brought it back to the scene that was in the hospital and just have one more moment with the kid saying something rude, it would be funny, because this movie has a lot of great comedy between Alice Lowe and her fetus, and I'm not quite sure who plays the voice of the fetus, but it's really funny too. Just really funny, brilliant humor. It's got that British dry sensibility, which is just awesome. So yeah, Prevenge, really great movie. You can find it streaming now on Shudder. Definitely check that out, shudder.com. But yeah, I would give this one, Prevenge, out of 5 stars. It gets about a 4.5. If they would have changed the ending a little bit, it would have rated higher for me. But right now, I'm giving it a 4.5 for Prevenge. Check it out. Alice Lowe, I'm curious to see what else she comes up with next. But I gotta say, it was a really good feature, Prevenge. The next movie I saw was called The Truth Beneath.
여보, 문제가 생겼어. 민진이가 아직 집에 안 들어왔어.
선거에서 치면 당신 괜찮겠어?
애가 가출했다고 선거에서 치진 않아.
아들이 학교 뒷문으로 나왔어요. 그거는 CCTV가 없거든요.
우리 딸 반드시 돌아옵니다. 쟤는 절대 무너지지 않을 겁니다.
도와주세요, 선생님.
요새를 강요하시는 이유가 뭡니까?
선거고 정치고 뭐고 이제 다 필요 없어.
그런 얼굴 하고 있으면 내가 무슨 말을 할 수 있겠니?
믿어도 되는 사람이라는 걸 증명해봐요.
Okay, so The Truth Beneath was directed by Kian Mi Lee, and one of the main reasons I wanted to see this flick was because Chan-Wook Park was one of the collaborating screenwriters. Now, Chan-Wook Park directed such movies as Old Boy, Stoker, and most recently The Handmaiden. And I am such a fan of those films, so I wanted to see something that had his touch to it, though. And I gotta say, it was a pretty good thriller, actually. The story focuses on a woman whose husband is trying to get elected as a politician. He was recently a news anchor or a news reporter of some kind, and it's in the beginning parts of election season. And during the course of the election season, their daughter goes missing. And instead of calling the police right away, the husband decides to wait for a day because he doesn't want to, start a scandal. Well, the wife isn't really feeling this at all and starts an investigation of her own. And she, starts to find out things that are not right at all. There's a lot of hidden things going on, not only with her family, but also with the government as well. A lot of things happen to do with her campaign. A lot of people want to keep this quiet because they don't want to have a scandal on their hands right there. And the course of the movie goes on. She starts to find out more things that happen. I don't want to give much away right there, but I gotta say, it was pretty riveting. There were some things that I kind of knew that were going to happen, but the way that surprises were revealed in this were really good. All right, I gotta say this off the hand here. It was really good the way the pacing of this went. There was things that surprised me, and the things that didn't surprise me, I was still impressed about how it was revealed, how certain things were revealed in this. So it was really, really good. Can't really say too much about it, though, without really getting into too much spoilers here. I do think there is one moment in the movie when she does find out exactly what does happen to her daughter, and there's a point in the movie where she does have the chance to get back at somebody for it, and she never really does, and it would have been the perfect point to close that film with. And the film instead decides to focus on a forgiveness scene between the daughter and the mother, which is nice, but I feel like that moment of the film should have come earlier, and the part where she does have the chance to get fully back at someone, she never does. So yeah, that's my only gripe about the whole film. But other than that, it was cool. It was really nice that after the screening of the movie, the director herself, the Keon Mi Lee that I mentioned, she was there. It was cool that she answered my question about Chenhua Park, because she made a short film that he saw and he was really impressed with it. So he helped her out with some of the script doctrine of The Truth Beneath. The Truth Beneath. And so that's kind of a cool thing too. I don't know if she's done anything else really. I don't know if this is her first feature or not. But it's something that I'm definitely curious to see other films. No, she's only made 3 movies before this. So I'm definitely curious about seeing what other films she comes out with. The Truth Beneath is the type of movie that could easily have an American remake for it, though. I would not be surprised if this movie does not get an Americanized remake, because the story is essential for everybody. You know, woman whose daughter was missing, her husband's a politician, doesn't want anything to do with it. She takes on the investigation herself and finds out things that she isn't supposed to find out about. So I definitely enjoy that aspect of it, though. It was really good thriller mystery. Seems like someone that would seem perfect in the 90s, actually, but it was still a good watch all around. I would probably give The Truth Beneath out of a score of 5. I would give it an honest, probably a good solid 4. Yeah, 4 stars. Out of 5, 4 stars. A good solid 4. I would rate this higher, but I feel like the ending of that kind of brings it down a little bit. All right. Plus, there are other scenes in the movie where things don't make a lot of sense. And like I said before, I really don't want to get into too much spoilers here if I can avoid it. But there's definitely a scene when you find out the reveal of what happens to the daughter. Feels like she's dreaming and then she's not. It's a real thing. And it just... bunch of weird imagery there, which I don't mind in movies, but I feel like for this type of procedural movie, it didn't really need to have this crazy visual dream sequence in there. It just felt like a little bit out of place. But that's it right now. But anyways, yeah, The Truth Beneath, check it out. If it does come to theaters for you, I definitely say seek it out before they do an American remake. So let's go ahead right now. We're going to take a quick little break. We're going to play some ads from some other podcast shows that you should check out. And I'll be back with my closing thoughts on the last movie I saw. Okay, stay tuned.
We'll return after these announcements.
All right, Kristen, I am so excited that you've decided to do a podcast with me. But what are we going to do a podcast about? There's so many other movie podcasts. We got to do something original.
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of Disney movies. What about something like that?
That's just kid stuff. What do we want to do that for?
Did you know that The Avengers is a Disney movie? Or that Pulp Fiction is a Disney movie?
Pulp Fiction is not a Disney movie.
It's technically owned by Miramax, which is part of Disney.
We are still going to talk about the Disney animated movies, though, right?
I thought you said that was kid stuff.
Well, you know, I've got 2 kids. I got to be a good dad and stuff.
So be sure to subscribe to the Walt Sent Me podcast, where we discuss the various subsidiaries of the Walt Disney Studio, including the animated movies.
It's available on iTunes, Podomatic, and wherever you find great podcasts. And I swear, it's not kid stuff.
All right, guys. So we need to record our top 3 reasons why you should listen to French Toast Sunday podcast. number three should definitely be our diverse opinions.
Number two should probably be our top three list that we do every week.
No, it's gotta be Mark Wahlberg.
What about Gwyneth Paltrow's head?
It's gotta be Fighting the Sadness in the Swamp of Sadness.
Full Frontal.
Stories about being lost at sea.
Brendan Fraser being underground.
Helen Mirren's boobs.
Baltimore accents as heard in The Wire.
Wunderklaus.
Crepes. Character studies.
Wait, guys. What about movies?
Nah.
Tree rape.
Hmm.
Tree rape? Yeah, I like tree rape.
Tune in every Friday for a new episode of French Toast Sunday podcast brought to you by us at FrenchToastSunday.com.
Clothing made out of Burger King wrappers.
Welcome back to the Film Pastor Podcast. The last film I saw, well, not the last film I got a lot more to see, but the last film I saw this week was a reissue of the 1927 first Best Picture winner, Wings. This was directed by William Wellman, and it stars Clara Bow, Charles Rogers, and Richard Arlen. With a special appearance by Gary Cooper. And the story is about two friends who are fighter pilots, and they join the army, get involved with the war, which I'm assuming since it was released in 1927 that it was World War One, and both of them are in love with the same woman. I think it was the character of Jack. Yeah, Jack is in love with this girl who thinks loves him back. She gives him a photograph of herself because he asked, and it turns out that she is actually in love with David, played by Richard Arlen. As I said before, Jack is played by Charles Rogers. Now, meanwhile, Jack has a good friend of his named Mary. Actually, Mary is a friend of both David and Jack. Mary is played by Clara Bow. And Mary is in love with Jack, but Jack doesn't realize this at all. He just thinks that she's a good friend. So both of them, you know, go to war. And the first half is them going into training to become fire pilots. And before the intermission, they basically take out a squadron of German soldiers, okay? And the next part, they have to defeat more, German soldiers up in the air. And the cool thing about this is, because since it was made in the 20s, is that all the airplane sequences are real, all right? There is no blue screen. There was no stunt people. They couldn't afford it. So everything you see happen in the air was really happening in the air. Now, what makes this screening of Wayne special is the fact that it had a live band while the movie was playing, because Wayne's is a silent movie. So it was just kind of cool to see a live band performing the music, because that's how it was done back in those days. And the people who were making the music were known as the Prima Vista Quartet, and it had a completely original score, which I found to be really damn cool. I just was not expecting that. I thought they would just take, you know, the music that was in the original and just do that. But yeah, but the composer of this was Bodim Jam, which I hope I'm saying that right now. But yeah, he was the guy who composed it, and it was a completely original score, which made it really cool. And this seems to, Wings was the kind of movie that Pearl Harbor could be. I'm sure Pearl Harbor took a lot of elements from this movie, especially with the two pilots being in love with the same girl. I'm sure that notion of the plot was taken from this movie. Michael Bay's Pearl Harbor. I hope we're clear about that. Michael Bay's Pearl Harbor. I can't believe I'm actually mentioning Michael Bay in review of Wings, but just to be clear, Michael Bay. This movie does it, like, a lot better. You actually care about both these characters very well, the characters of Jack and David, and they have such this great friendship. There's a sequence before they, I guess before they go in the air, one of them says, "All set," and the other one goes, "Okay." And I gotta say, for it being a silent film with title cards, you really get emotionally involved with the movie here, which I was very impressed about. I know people kind of dismiss silent films as just being hokey and other times, but no, this is a very engaging movie. I can totally see why this won for Best Picture in 1928 at the Oscars. And a cool fun fat toy that I didn't realize, but William Wellman was actually part of my hometown, Minnesota, which I found to be very cool. And a lot of this movie, in fact, all of it was based on his real life of being a pilot in the big war right there. So I thought that was kind of cool. It's a long movie. It's like over 2.5 hours long. So I'm really grateful there was an intermission in there betweenhand. But yeah, I mean, I'm really hoping that more theaters do stuff like this and play a silent film with a live orchestra. This would also be a cool thing for like high school students, high school music, and maybe college music students to get involved with, because there, okay, so where I live, there is a opera house where you can see movies with a live score. I think they did like E.T. before, and I think they did like Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. And you put scores of those movies. I think they did one for Psycho as well, but it costs like over $50 a head to see films like this. And it would be cool if local theaters just brought some high school bands or local jazz bands or, you know, something that would help out the community a little bit more and play older movies with the original score by high school bands and, you know, college bands, whatnot there. Yeah, I would love to see an actual screening of an older movie with a high school band in there. I think that would be really cool. But yeah, Wings, I'll be honest with you, if I did not see it in this way, I probably wouldn't see it at all. I know eventually I would, but it's really, really cool to watch this on a big screen with a live orchestra. So if it ever comes to town again, or if any silent films come to your town with an orchestra or a piano player, check it out. It's a really kind of fun experience to see it that way, because you're seeing it in the way that it was originally presented. So I really enjoyed that part of it, though. Honestly, though, I would give the film itself out of 5 stars. I would give it, I would have to give it a 5. It's a really solid movie. And the addition with the band just brought up even more then. So I'd have to say, of all the films I saw this week at the film festival, Wings would be number 1. Prevenge would be number 2. The Truth Beneath would be number 3. And then Lipstick Under My Burka would be number 4. That's going to kind of wrap it up right now for what I saw this week at the Minneapolis St. Paul International Film Festival. Next week, I'm going to be focusing on a few more titles. Couple of them are reissues. We have reissues of The River's Edge, as well as Desperately Seeking Susan. There's a few of the ones on there right now, but I'm not quite sure about what dates they're premiering, so I don't want to say they'll be part of the show or not. But I'll be back next week to tell you my reviews of those and a few others. We're going to close off the show with a little house cleaning tips right here, a little house cleaning. For our next main episode that I'm doing with Kristen Lopez, we want to do an episode all about what are the best movies to see in theaters. We got the summer movie season coming up, and we want to know from you, what are the best movies to see in theaters? In your opinion here, what are movies that look way better on theater screens than they do on the small screen? So hit us up on Twitter. We are @FilmPasture. You can follow us on Facebook. Just type in The Film Pastor on Facebook. And let us know in the comments there. I'll put post up about this. But we want to know. And we're also looking for guests that want to be on this episode. So I hope you can message us, you know, on our Twitter page or on our Facebook page. But yeah, check that out. You can find all of our past episodes. We are on Podomatic. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher Radio. Yeah, definitely seek those out. Check those other shows out. Let us know how we're doing on there. And rate us a review on iTunes. We greatly appreciate it. And we will do the same for you. All right? But anyways, I'm The Vern right now. I took too much of your time this week here. But thank you for listening. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. I'm actually going to close up this episode of the Film Pastor Podcast by playing you a song from an artist that many of you have never heard of before, but I'm hoping that you will check out more of her stuff. Her name is Julia, and I don't know where I was when I first discovered her, but her vocals are just incredible. Really, really good stuff. I guess I would, I don't want to compare her to anything at all, but she reminds me a lot of Kate Bush and Tori Amos and Natasha Khan from Bat for Lashes, but she's fully unique, fully original, got this really incredible, hauntingly beautiful voice. It's just really good. I can't praise this lady enough right there. She does have a Patreon page. And I really, really hope you do support her because she's really good, really talented. The song that I'm going to be playing for you is called When Monsters Spare Their Prey. It's not the full song, but I just want you to hear just how really amazingly beautiful this woman sounds. You can follow her on Twitter. She is at Miss_Julia, I believe it is, and on Patreon, just type in Julia, J-E-W-E-L-I-A, what was the right, J-E-W-E-L-I-A. She also has a YouTube page as well as Facebook, and I think YouTube is probably the best place to actually watch all of her videos and listen to her songs. Definitely check her stuff out here, incredible stuff. I'm going to shut up right now and play the song.